Chapter 9. It's a rather messed up crew that stumbles back into the Argent house. Jake is fine, since he was smart enough to hang back, so he's somewhat reluctantly helping Flossie along. She's generally okay, but her left ankle is badly sprained, and she can't put any weight on it at all. Freddy is the worst off, with bruised or possibly even broken ribs. But Sam has a few nasty claw marks that Stiles didn't even see him get. Derek has shifted back and is whole and uninjured, wearing only his jeans. Jake is still wearing his leather jacket, which falls to his mid-thighs. Stiles is okay, although his shirt has a sizable rip in it, through which the chainmail shines when the light hits it. The cut over his eye looks worse than it is. It's not giving him that much trouble, although it stings like a bitch. There's a group of 6 people sitting in the Argent's living room, which is fewer than he had expected to see. He forces himself to really look at them, dig in his memory, and remember who the hell they are. Chris and Victoria are there, of course, along with Sam's parents, Julian and Nicole, he thinks. The other 2 people are the twins' parents, recognizable from their white blonde hair. He can't remember the mother's name, but the father is Mikhail. The elder council is gone. Stiles presumes that it's past their bedtime. Old folks turn in early. That, or Chris has banished them from the house in fury after finding out what they did. All of them are on their feet pretty much instantly as the teenagers come into the room. "Jonas, what on earth?" Mikhail says. And so, hey, apparently Freddy's real name is Jonas. Stiles notes it down as chaos erupts. He starts trying to explain that they ran into the monster in the woods, but he's gotten fewer than 2 words out when Jonas starts blustering about how they were walking in the woods and were attacked by Stiles and his pack. Derek opens his mouth to protest that he hasn't attacked any humans, but then realizes who he's trying to compete against. He closes his mouth and all but throws his hands up in surrender. Chris is frowning and addresses the twins' father. "Mikhail, I don't think," he starts, but before he can finish his sentence, or Stiles can launch any sort of defense of his own, help comes from an unexpected quarter, when Sam marches over, grabs Jonas by the shoulder, and gives him a rough shake. "You shut the fuck up, you lying son of a whore," Sam says. "I am so sick of your bullshit. You know damned well that not only did Stiles and his pack not attack you, they saved your goddamn life because you were stupid enough to track down some monster that could have eaten you for breakfast. Try showing a little gratitude." Everyone startles at this. Jake looks particularly shocked, but then gleeful. "It's true," he picks up with a nod. "It was all about to bite them, and they ran in and started kicking ass." Chris rubs a hand over his face. He hasn't missed the hilariously oversized leather jacket that Jake is wearing, that they've dressed him like he's one of their pack. "Would someone please tell me what has happened? From the beginning, without dramatics." Stiles grins, but decides against a comment about how Chris never lets him have any fun. Long story short, the twins went into the forest to try to track down the monster and bring glory to their ancestors, etc. Being in that it's now an extremely powerful alpha, it handed their asses to them. Hey, no judgment, guys. Peter was pretty badass. And then was about to turn... He looks at Flossie. "I'm sorry, I don't remember your name." Subdued and a little shocky, she says, "It's Annika." He was about to turn Annika when we showed up. There was a general brawl, we got roughed up a bit, but we did manage to get them out of there, and then we came back here, Stiles says. "Nobody is seriously injured, although I think Annika could use an ice pack for her ankle, and if you've got any stuff that will stop this cut from dripping blood into my eye, I would super appreciate it. And I think Jonas might have some fractured ribs." Victoria sweeps a judgmental look over the lot of them, then leaves the room. Chris just shakes his head, looking like a migraine is coming on. it actually is trying to build a pack. I wonder if it was just opportunity that the first person it tried to turn was someone with hunter training. Styles shrugs a little, and Victoria comes back with an extensive first aid kit. She pulls out some gauze, disinfectant, and a butterfly closure to deal with Styles' cut. Then she tosses a chemical ice pack to Annika, not waiting to see if she catches it. "Take what you need for the boys," she says to Julian, who has stepped up to help his son. "Am I the only one wondering where our cousin is?" he asks. "Yes," Derek hazards quietly. Mikhail's eyes are narrowed as he, too, reaches for the first aid kit to patch up his son. "And where the rest of your pack is?" he says. "I don't suppose those two things could possibly be related." Styles gives him a shrug and an innocent look as he lets Derek apply the bandage to his forehead. "Hey, the rest of my pack went back to the den," he says. "So unless Jake's parents decided to try to break onto our property, there shouldn't be any sort of problem." "And we all know that Argents would never needlessly damage any of my property," Derek says evenly, as he wipes the blood off Styles' forehead. Styles laughs a little, then sees the grimace on Chris's face. "Wait, what?" Derek shrugs. "A minion smashed my car window once."
"Whose minion?"
Styles turns to Chris.
"Your minion?"
Chris rubs both hands over his face.
This is not a conversation he had envisioned himself ever having.
"It was a long time ago."
"Your thug smashed his car window?" Styles asks. "What the hell for?"
"It was a scare tactic," Derek says, "back when I first got into town."
"They broke your car window to scare you?"
Styles' voice is colored with incredulity.
"Laura gave you that car."
Chris winces. "You don't have to remind me. If they had so much as dented a panel, someone would be missing an arm."
"Really? Dismemberment over a car?"
Mikhail says. And while he isn't as bad as his children, it's easy to see where they got their condescending tone.
"Who's Laura?"
Jake asks, leaning in close to Sam and hoping the other boy knows. Styles overhears and answers, although his gaze is fixed on Mikhail.
"Laura," he says, "was Derek's sister, his alpha, who had just been murdered less than a week before this little incident occurred. Frankly, I'm surprised that there wasn't dismemberment just over the window being broken, which, I would like to remind you, was done for no reason other than brute intimidation, since we are all now well aware that Derek had done nothing wrong."
Derek huffs a little, remembering that Styles generally likes Chris, even if he doesn't like Chris right now. "In the interest of being fair, both you and Scott thought I was the bad guy too, and you weren't my alpha then."
Styles gives him one of those alpha stares. "Derek," he says evenly, "shut up."
Derek's mouth closes without protest. Sam looks a little stunned, having been watching them interact up until this point. Jake blurts out,
"Whoa!"
loud enough for everyone to hear. Styles thinks all this over, then says,
"I know you had it fixed. Do you remember how much it cost?"
Figuring that a direct question was tacit permission to speak, Derek says, "Not exactly. About $200.
"Okie dokie," Styles turns to Chris. "We take checks."
Chris considers this for a moment, then nods. "Sure, if that'll make things square with Derek, I'll write him a check."
"Seriously?" Mikhail asks, startled. "You're acting like you actually did something wrong. So you put the fear of God into him. So what? Maybe the car has some sentimental value, but it's not like you knew that."
Chris looks back and forth between Styles and Mikhail, clearly wondering how Mikhail is stupid enough to tread that close to insulting Styles Lupa right now. "It was an ugly situation for everyone, yes. I don't really see how my ignorance really makes the fact that I damaged a gift from his sister and Alpha any less painful."
The kid wasn't even alpha back then.
Mikhail starts.
No, but I am alpha now, Styles says,
his eyes starting to glow crimson.
And I have a right to demand reparation for wrongful damage that was done to the pack that I assumed control of. If Chris doesn't have a problem with it, and he doesn't seem to, then how about you accept the fact that this is none of your business and stay the hell out of it?
Listen, kid, you don't...
Chris pinches his nose and wonders if he's the only adult in the room.
Mikhail, Derek is Styles Lupa.
He's careful to keep his voice even, but he's clearly wondering why this hasn't sunk in yet.
It has been a stressful day. I don't see why you're harping on this, especially when they just rescued your children.
Mikhail's jaw tightens.
Well, I don't see why you're not defending yourself. You were just doing your job. You made a mistake in judgment, maybe, but Derek himself said that Styles thought he was the bad guy, too. Nobody got hurt. Why are you apologizing for being what you are, for trying to keep the people in this town safe?
There was a pause while Chris considers this.
I guess because I have a code, he says. I didn't have proof, so I shouldn't have done it. I don't want to turn into my sister. And in the end, I can't really defend my actions in this particular case.
But it's not just about your actions in this particular case. It's Julian who speaks up now, and he looks very uncomfortable with the entire situation.
It's that... Look, Chris, I'll be honest with you. We, all of us, are worried about the extent of influence this Alpha has over you. And this is just... It's like the equivalent of him saying jump and you saying how high.
Styles can't help but snort with laughter. None of you guys have been around the many, many times Chris has told me what a fucking idiot I am.
Letting you attend the conclave undercover, Mikhail starts,
was a mistake, Styles says, and nods briskly. I never should have asked. I should have known my real identity would come out eventually and cause this sort of trouble.
He looks at Chris and says, sorry. To the others, he adds,
but you have to understand, the reason Chris does this sort of shit isn't because I'm the alpha. It's because I'm a dumb teenager. It's like letting your kid host a party. That way, at least you know where they'll be. Chris likes to keep me under his nose, so he knows what the fuck I'm up to. Because let's face it, I'm pretty much always up to something.
Julian cracks a bit of a smile at this despite himself. Mikhail still doesn't seem impressed. Even so, the way you spoke to the elders earlier
had nothing to do with Chris. And his reaction had nothing to do with me. We were both righteously, separately, pissed off at the fact that they brought a monster to town and let it go into the forest.
He shakes his head a little.
Guys, we work together for the greater good. But this influence stuff is crap. Trust me on that. I have never known anyone with the principles and the backbone of Chris Argent. And I can envision no situation in which he wouldn't tell me to take a long walk off a short pier if he thought I was the one in the wrong.
After a moment, Julian nods. He looks at Chris and says, I'm sorry, it's just... You had to know, Chris says. I would have done the same. He looks at Mikhail. Are we good?
I will continue to observe, Mikhail says.
Good enough, Styles says, and Chris nods. Styles glances at his watch and says,
well, now that we've delivered the twins home to you safe and sound, we'll be going. It's getting late, and I think we could all use some sleep.
Mikhail nods at this. He thanks Victoria and Chris for the use of their first aid kit, and then looks at his children. He hesitates for a moment, and then says, before we go, Jonas, Annika, do you have anything to say to the people who saved your lives? Jonas's cheeks flush bright pink. Annika studies the floor. She gets it over with first, murmuring a quick, thank you. Jonas is a harder nut to crack. He glares for a minute, before finally biting the words out, and then heading towards the door with all due speed. Mikhail grabs him by the wrist.
That's not all you have to say, he says. his voice firm and unyielding. Apologize to Stiles for lying to us and trying to blame your injuries on him. Dad! Jonas protests. Now! Mikhail snaps. Jonas goes from pink to red, but he swallows hard and says, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Apology accepted, Stiles says, because he thinks Mikhail might smack him if he says anything else.
Mikhail gives them both a nod. Now, shake hands like gentlemen, he says. Stiles extends his hand. Jonas takes it reluctantly, squeezes it harder than he needs to, and then drops it as if it's burned him. He flees the room without another word, dragging Annika behind him.
Mikhail frowns after them, then turns and addresses the others, making sure to include Stiles as much as the other adults.
I apologize for his behavior. I'll be sure to speak with him. With that, he turns and heads in the same direction. They hear the front door open and close behind them.
Stiles just shakes his head a little.
On that cheerful note, I think we're going to head home too. Sorry about all the fuss, or at least about all the fuss that's actually been my fault.
He reaches out and laces his fingers through Derek's.
Come on, guys. Let's bounce.
Jake fidgets a little, not sure if he's supposed to stay or go with Stiles. He starts to slip Derek's oversized jacket off, but Derek reaches out and puts it back on his shoulders.
We'll take him with us.
Chris just looks tired.
Stiles.
Stiles considers for a moment, then turns to Julian.
Okay, I'm going to clear this with you, since you guys are worried that Chris is influenced. Jake is coming with us. We're not going to adopt him into our pack. I solemnly swear that to you. I would never do that with the rest of my pack out of town. But I think he could benefit from spending time with people who are not horrible to him. And I'm willing to give all you guys the benefit of the doubt because you don't actually interact with your cousins on a day-to-day basis. So you probably don't know. But Jake's parents, they are awful. And I don't mean to let Jake out of my sight until I've managed to convince him of that fact.
The others glance at each other. Sam can't help but agree. He could tell his parents about the texts, or the contact lenses, or how low Jake's self-esteem seems to be in general, but that would just embarrass him.
I'll stay with him again, if you want, he offers.
Julian gives a little sigh.
Okay, he says. I guess you've got a point, but seriously, do you know where his parents are?
Stiles gives a little shrug. He doesn't want to lie, and he knows that Allison has already told Chris where they are. If the other adults somehow find out that Chris knew and withheld the information, that will only cement the impression that he's been compromised.
He turns to Derek.
Did Allison send you the photo? He asks, since his own phone is in Peter's pocket. And Derek nods and pulls it up. The photo of the two Argents in the pit.
Jake lets out a muffled squeak.
Whole, unharmed, he says. But they tried to break onto our property and were caught in one of our traps. And that's where they're going to stay for a little while.
Sam looks at the photo and then up at Stiles and Derek.
You have a tiger pit? He asks. And Derek smiles, that same obnoxious smile that he gave them all that first night from behind the fence.
You have to understand, I never actually expected anyone to fall in it, Stiles says, biting back laughter.
Chris frowns. That's a lie.
Stiles' grin widens. Don't put in a tiger pit, Stiles, he says, in a voice somewhat deeper and rougher than his own. No one's going to fall for that, Stiles.
Chris rubs a hand over his face. I'm kind of ashamed that they're related to me. Now get out of my house.
Sir, yes, sir. Stiles draws himself up for a salute. Then he sobers up a little and says,
Thanks. I'll keep you posted.
He turns to leave, letting Derek loop an arm around his waist as he goes. Jake ducks his head a little nervously, but follows along with Sam right behind him.
Stiles' Jeep is still parked where he had left it much earlier that day, before the scavenger hunt, so they all get in.
Okay, Derek says, as soon as they're on the road. What are you up to?
Derek!
Stiles exclaims. I'm hurt! Why do you always think I'm up to something? Derek just turns a look on him and says, because I've met you. Stiles smirks at him. I remember when you wouldn't say two words to me voluntarily. When your idea of a conversation with me was to try to glare me into submission. That was before I realized you're selectively blind, and so my glares have no impact, and compliance comes easier with bribes of small kitchen appliances.
Fine, be that way, Stiles says. Maybe I won't tell you where the fear factor monster is.
Derek just raises his eyebrows at him.
Oh my God, guys!
Jake says, pounding on the back of Derek's seat.
Stop trying to one-up each other and just tell us!
Seriously, y'all are like old ladies, Sam agrees. Stiles can't help but laugh.
Okay, in the tussle with Peter, I slipped my phone into his pocket.
Using his own trick against him, Derek says approvingly. Well played. Sam sighs. Stop forgetting that we don't know what you're talking about.
Actually, I was going to explain, Stiles says. We all have GPS tracking on our phones and can log in to see where they are. It's actually... Back when real Peter was still alive and was the Alpha, he kidnapped me once and forced me to access Scott's GPS tracking information because, long story, a lot was going on. So that's what Derek means. Anyway, once I get back to the den, where I have my laptop, I can see where this thing is hiding out.
And then what? Derek asks.
Not sure yet, Stiles says. If it's relatively stationary and therefore not causing immediate trouble, my impulse is to let it go for tonight. It's late, we're all tired, we need sleep. If it's on the move, we'll wait and see where it goes and decide from there.
Derek nods and slouches in his seat, clearly expressing his opinion that it had better not be on the move.
From the back, Sam asks,
what do you plan to do with Jake's parents?
Stiles sighs and pushes a hand through his hair. Tonight? Nothing. They'll get some food and some water, and we'll keep an eye on them. It's warm out. Sleeping outside won't kill them.
No, but they might kill me, Jake mutters.
Stiles pulls off the main road, onto the dirt road that leads to the new house. He comes to a stop, and then turns in his seat to look at the younger teenager.
Jake, do you actually want to go home with your parents at the end of the conclave?
What? Jake jerks up in his seat, suddenly tense. You can't just ask me that.
Why not? Stiles replies. You don't have to answer right now. You can think about it. But the offer was serious. You can stay here if you like. Even if you don't want to be part of the pack, I'm pretty sure Chris and Victoria would take you in.
Jake slumps back into his seat. Why would they want me any more than my parents do?
Do you know, Stiles says casually, that Allison actually gave up archery when she was about 10? She got bored with it, and her parents said, okay, you should do what you want to do. She didn't pick it up again until she moved to Beacon Hills. So if they were fine with her not wanting to be a hunter, I think they would be fine with you.
Wow, Sam says. Just wow.
But she's supposed to take over the family and everything, Jake says, like he doesn't quite believe it.
They were just okay with her stopping?
I think Chris intended to introduce her to it all when the time was right, Stiles says. But yeah, I think they would have been okay if she decided to walk away with the whole thing. Because they really love her. Her happiness is the most important thing to them.
He starts the car again.
Just think about it, Jake, okay? If you want to go home, I won't stop you. But I will... Let's say I'll have a strongly worded discussion with your parents about why they should treat you better.
Jake nods a little.
I'll think about it.
Okie dokie. Stiles hits the remote to disarm the fence and open the panel to let the Jeep through. He parks the car and closes the gate, then rubs a hand over his face. A quick glance over at the fence, and he sees Erica keeping watch over the pit.
Derek, why don't you take our guests inside, and I'll go check in with Erica? He says. He doesn't want Jake anywhere near his parents right now. If he gets his way, The kid won't have to see them again at all unless he actually wants to. Derek nods and waves for the other two to follow him. Once inside, he takes a moment to just breathe in the scent of home. Then he leads Sam and Jake further inside to where Allison and Scott are curled up on the L-shaped sofa together. Wednesday's sitting on the shorter arm of the L, looking comfortable and leafing through one of their reference books, which collect around Styles like lint.
Styles is checking in with Erica, he says.
He leans in to give them both a hug and rub cheeks. Even Scott, who doesn't bother trying to hide it under the veneer of something polite, human, or manly. The day has sucked, and he needs the reassurance of Pack right now. After a long moment, he moves back and away.
We brought Jake and Sam with us, he says,
and then falls awkwardly silent. His social skills are starting to run thin. Allison smiles up at her two cousins.
I'm glad you came back, she says.
She hesitates a little, then says, I know it's kind of late, but are you guys hungry? Dinner was a while ago, but there's always food around here.
I'm actually starved, Sam admits.
Food it is, then. Scott gets to his feet. I'm pretty useless in the kitchen for anything except using a microwave, he admits. And Styles has a vendetta against unhealthy food, so, you may wind up with sandwiches. Or you can wait for him to come inside and work his kitchen magic.
Are there still cookies? Jake asks. You know, while we wait? Or with the sandwiches?
Amused, Allison says. There are a few left. She frowns a little and then says, Hey, it just occurred to me to ask, where's Veruca?
Who? Sam asks blankly.
Ugh, I'm reduced to using Styles' cute little nicknames, Allison says. She glances at Wednesday and says, You know, your partner on the scavenger hunt.
Sally Stoddard, Wednesday replies, inheritor of the Stoddard family hunting mantle, and a vain, spoiled little bitch. I ditched her half an hour into the scavenger hunt because she was whining about how her allergies were kicking up. I think she went back to the hotel.
Allison rolls her eyes, then says, Hey, do you want to see the house? We could eat the cookies and I'll show you around while we wait for Styles.
Are you going to try to convince us that it isn't an art gallery? Sam asks.
It's not that well organized, Derek mutters, retrieving the tin in which Styles usually keeps the cookies.
Trust me, parts of it are definitely not an art gallery, Scott says, laughing. He starts counting places off on his fingers. I mean, there's the greenhouse, and then Styles' library/research room, and the entertainment center of doom, and you guys saw the armory already.
Jake heaves a sigh of relief.
I was afraid you guys were some of those weird anti-TV people.
How big is this place? Sam asks in a sort of wonder.
Scott lets out a snort of laughter at Jake's statement as Derek starts handing out the cookies. Then, to Sam, he says, Well, it started out as a little place just for Derek. Then Styles got involved. And, you've sort of seen the way things typically go when Styles gets involved. They don't stay small.
Derek makes a sour face. He commandeered my house, he says.
He thumps the cookie tin back down onto the counter.
And stole my kitchen.
Sam tries not to laugh. Allison doesn't bother.
You let him, she says. Come on, guys, to our time. So this is the living room, or general let's hang out together room. Dining room is over that way. Really kind of boring. Table, chairs, and stuff. Over there, she gestures to a set of double doors, is Derek's studio, and he will kill me if I let anyone in there.
With my teeth, Derek adds.
Allison just gives him a look. Oh God, he's kidding, right? Jake blurts out. Please tell me he's kidding.
Sort of, Allison says.
Yeah, he's kidding. But seriously, we don't look at his half-finished work. That would just be rude. This stuff, she adds, gesturing to the art littering the house,
is just weird. But if he left it out, it's okay to look at. She assumes. Derek seems to be hoarding his words. The separation from the rest of the pack clearly hasn't been good for him. At the moment, he's staring out the window, as if something outside is fascinating. And moving on, Scott directs them, waving them down the hall. Okay, entertainment room of doom, he says, pointing through the first door. Inside, there are two separate sofas, with a generous helping of cushions and beanbag chairs in front of them. There's a gigantic TV and at least three separate video game systems hooked up. The entire wall opposite the door is shelves full of DVDs, CDs, and game cartridges. Jake swallows. I think I need a minute alone with this room. A moment's not gonna cut it, Scott says with a snort. Isaac, Danny, and I practically lived in here for the first week after the house was built. We still had to pry you out with a combination of threats and bribery, Allison remarks, and Sam laughs. Derek peers at Jake, who's moved into the room. Is he petting one of the consoles? Mom and Dad think video games will rot my brain, Jake says dreamily, giving the PS3 one final wistful pat as he stands back up. I think they were just mad because I was actually pretty good at first-person shooter games, which they took as evidence that I would be good at other stuff if I put my mind to it. He stands up and changes the subject. Isaac and Danny are other pack members? Scott nods. Yeah, there's 9 of us total. Besides those two, there's Lydia and Boyd. That's everyone. Jake looks over at Allison. Are any of the others human? Besides you and Stiles? Allison shakes her head, and then shrugs. No, but getting the bite, being changed, isn't a requirement or anything. Stiles told the others when we were building the pack that they didn't have to if they didn't want to. Okay, Jake says. Scott gestures for them to follow him. Okay, so this is the study, he says, leading them into the room across the hall. This room is the messiest they've seen so far. There are several tables covered in books and papers. Most of the chairs are wooden, but there are 2 comfortable armchairs as well. Basically, we figured we'd better have a quiet room or we would never do our homework. And Stiles comes in here when he needs to research things like, well, where to buy material for electric fences, or how to build tiger pits, or whatever tangent he's on at any given moment. Like the entire history of the drinking straw, Allison says. What happened to WD-1 through WD-39? Derek adds. Sam looks back and forth between them. You're serious, aren't you? Oh yeah, Derek says. He glances up, as does Scott, at the noise of the front door. That'll be him, Derek says, relieved at the chance to leave the tour group and be antisocial again. I'll go tell him to make us something to eat, he adds, and leaves the room. Scott rolls his eyes a little at Derek's hasty exit. Come on, guys. You've seen the armory, so up next would be the training room, I guess. He leads them to the room at the end of the hall, which is one of the larger ones. The walls and part of the floor are lightly padded. There isn't any exercise equipment, but there are some bars and pegs for pull-ups or climbing. We do a lot of our physical stuff outside, but when the weather's bad, we'll work out in here. Sam looks at Allison. Cuddles or violence? Allison looks a little embarrassed, then bites her lip and tucks her hair behind one ear when Scott turns to look at her. My temper was a little... She measures it for Scott, holding her thumb and forefinger about an inch apart. Then she gives Sam a bright smile. But I'm really much better now that part of my pack is back, especially my mate. And the twins aren't being allowed to tread on my last nerve while on our territory. Uh-huh, Sam says. He looks kind of amused and shakes his head at her. They really are awful. No kidding, Jake says under his breath. Then he looks nervously at the room and says, I'm not very good at this kind of thing. Scott shrugs a little. You can't be any worse than Stiles was at the beginning. he and his limbs don't always talk to each other. I've been there when he's just flat out fallen out of chairs with no provocation. We all have to learn self-defense. Like, real self-defense. But not everyone is made to be a fighter. Lydia hates it, and Boyd would rather be reading. So you don't need to learn more than the basics.
It's hard to believe that about Styles, Sam says, arching his eyebrows. He's not that strong, but the son of a bitch can move.
Chairs, Scott repeats. It's totally true, Allison agrees. I was with him when Gerard started training him. And after that, it's all been Derek and I. The two of us do all the combat training for the pack. And Styles is still kind of flaily.
If you say so, Sam says, shaking his head. Scott laughs and gestures for them to follow. The end of the hallway has a spiral staircase that he goes up.
Okay, so there's actually not a lot interesting up here. I mean, the pack typically shares a bedroom while they're here. Allison and I have a separate bedroom, cause we do. And there's a guest bedroom just in case, I don't know, anyone ever comes to visit us or anything. Or Isaac gets tired of Styles kicking in his sleep, or Lydia needs to spend time alone with the complete works of Shakespeare or whatever she does when no one's looking. He pushes open a door that's already mostly ajar to reveal the master bedroom, which is the largest room in the house except for the living room downstairs. There's a perimeter about 2 feet wide before several steps down into what basically looks like a pit filled with blankets and cushions. A door leads to a walk-in closet on the other side of the room, and there isn't much other furniture. Jake and Sam both give this the side eye. It's Sam that finally says something.
You all sleep together.
Yeah, Scott says with a shrug. It's a pack thing. Allison takes pity on them, seeing their expressions. I know it seems weird, at least from the outside, but once you're actually part of the pack, it's not. It's comforting. Relaxing. It brings a feeling of safety. Those stupid seminars make it seem like being in a pack is all about power, but that's not the way it works. Not in a healthy pack. The power is just a safety net to protect your family.
I guess that makes sense,
Sam says, although he still sounds a little dubious. It's hard to explain to anyone who isn't pack, Scott says. Just like the whole thing with Styles and Derek, if you aren't in a pack, you'll just never really be able to understand what that connection is like. He perks up and adds, speaking of Styles, we should wrap this up. He's cooking bacon. Is he making breakfast? Allison asks, and Scott nods, leading the way back down. Styles is indeed in the kitchen. He's got 2 skillets on the stove. One of them has a large portion of scrambled eggs. In the second, he's flipping French toast. His laptop is on the counter on the other side of the stove, displaying a GPS grid with a red dot on it that he's keeping half an eye on. The computer is also playing Led Zeppelin, and Styles is singing along and occasionally playing air guitar. Derek is sitting in his normal spot on the counter. He has 1 foot tucked up under the knee of his other leg, and a sketchbook open on his thigh, held steady with one hand. He's holding 2 pens in his other hand, flipping back and forth between them. The foot that's hanging down is nudging Styles in the knee. Every now and then, he looks up to shake his head at Styles, amused. The teenager looks up as the group comes in. Oh, hey guys, he says. Food's gonna be another few minutes. There's a round of nods. Sam gestures at the laptop and says,
so what's going on with that?
Styles gives it a glance and reaches over to turn the music down, before turning back to the eggs. He's hanging out in the preserve, wandering a bit, but pretty aimlessly. He's not going within 5 miles of anything we care about, so I'm content to let him ramble.
Scott blinks. You got a GPS on him? Exactly what happened on your half of the misadventure?
To make a long story short, Styles says, switching spatulas to flip the French toast over. The twins went out a-hunting. We tailed them until not Peter showed up, saved their asses from him, whereupon I slipped my phone into his pocket. We took the twins back to their at least somewhat loving parents, cleared at least some of the air with the Hunter families we actually give 2 shits about,
Sorry, Jake. And then came back here. As long as not Peter doesn't look like he's going to get up to any mischief tonight, we are going to get some sleep and tackle the problem in the morning when we're fresh.